just on the dedication of the film for Karen Schmier, and I just wanted to mention her, which I do every time I speak with them personally, I'll be here personally. Karen was the editor I was working with on this film, and in the middle of the film, she was hit by a car and killed, and she was 40 years old and a dear friend, and it was a tragedy, and she's a well-loved editor who I'm sure you've seen some of her work before, The Fog of War by Errol Morris, Fast Keeping Out of Control, Sergio, I don't know if that's the year, a couple years ago, but an amazing woman, and so I always want to acknowledge her. Also, I want to acknowledge Mongrel Media, who's opening a film on May 22nd here in Canada, which is just thrilling. It'll be the first first country to do so, and then it's going to be rolled out in June in the UK, in the US later in the summer, so this is very exciting. Okay, to answer your question. it was the research, and you know, there have been projects, of course, in my country's done about Bobby Fischer in the past, and they did documentaries. And you know, there were certain images which you saw over and over, and then which were kind of, you know, burned in the mind. It was how to kind of get beyond them, because it was clearly long periods in his life that were documented. And also, there was just stuff that, you know, that was not properly cataloged and easily accessible. So it just, it took, you know, really a year of research. And, you know, it is like a little bit like a detective story, because they say, oh, my brother in Brooklyn, you know, knew him, and you know, they shot him getting a haircut. So there was this, like, you know, 2-month process of like looking for the images of Bobby, like some old film of Bobby getting a haircut. Needless to say, we didn't get it. But there were other stories that turned out more successfully. The footage of the match itself, we had been told it was ungettable. How was it ungettable? You know, ABC News broadcast it, PBS, it was the number one rated show on PBS in 72. How was the footage not available? How was it not gettable? And it was, you know, and it turned out, in fact, all the PBS footage had been destroyed in a dispute between the two producers. One destroyed the footage to punish the other one. Sheldon Lyman, who's seen his own. It was a great tragedy, actually. But then the ABC footage was just, it was never cataloged properly. So it was just the persistence of archivists who were finally going through boxes. And, you know, when we would open a box and we would get something, we would stick in a tape and we saw the plane. I mean, it was like a gift from God or from the dead or something. It was just an extraordinary gift that when this footage would come up. And in terms of meeting Bobby, you know, this film couldn't have been made with Bobby's cooperation. I mean, as you saw, there was an Icelandic filmmaker who filmed his journey when Sammy Paulson went to get him out of prison in Japan and filmed his journey home, and it just went so, it went so bad that, you know, that film, it couldn't get finished, and, you know, there were some moments of it that I think were important, but Bobby was so paranoid, and so it was very difficult to continue, and he, you know, and so it had to be made posthumously.